Hello. Before you start this episode of The Game Changers, I wanted to take a moment to tell you about our new documentary, Abby Ward, A Bump in the Road, which explores the challenges faced by professional female athletes and all working mothers. It follows the remarkable journey of an England rugby player as she battles back to the professional game just 17 weeks after the birth of her baby, and then on to secure her place in England's Six Nations squad for 2024. The documentary is free to watch in the UK on ITVX or globally on Rugby Pass TV. And don't forget that our other documentary, Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport, is still available to watch on Netflix in the UK. Now it's time for the Game Changers. Hello and welcome to The Game Changers, the podcast that celebrates trailblazing women in sport. I'm Sue Anstis, and I'd like to start with a big thank you to our partners Sport England, who support The Game Changers through a National Lottery Award. I'm delighted to say that this, the 13th season of the podcast, is a serialisation of my book, Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport. Chapter 9, You Can't Be What You Can't See. Athleticism in women was no longer viewed as a novelty, aberration, peculiarity of birth or threat to femininity, but simply the fulfilment of human potential. Ellen J. Starosky, 2016. One of the most satisfying elements we see with the growth of women's sport is the increased profile of amazing female athletes who are inspiring role models for women and girls. In fact, 86% of girls aged 11 to 21 think that women in sport are good role models for young women, according to the Girl Guiding Girls Attitude Survey 2020. In my podcast, I often ask my guests, all trailblazing women in sport, about the sporting role models they had while growing up. Many tell me they did not have any, as so few women had any media profile at the time. It's for this reason that the Women's Sport Trust co-founder, Jo Bostock, says she doesn't always think that the cliche, you can't be what you can't see, is totally true, because someone has to be a pioneer, break a path. Those pioneers aside, though, things are now changing significantly as little girls across the world can grow up dreaming of being the next Serena Williams, Steph Horton, Heather Knight, Sarah Hunter, or Simone Biles. One of the questions often asked is, do high-profile role models and big sporting events actually drive grassroots participation in sport? It's an important consideration, particularly when millions of pounds of public funds are being invested in hosting global sporting events or funding elite athletes to perform on the world stage. Research in the past has not always shown a clear linear link between high-profile events and sporting role models. I asked Sally Mundy about this. Sally was CEO at England Hockey when the GB women won gold in Rio and is now CEO at UK Sport. In her usual very open manner, Sally says, there are some people that simply don't believe that the evidence is there, that international success equals more participants. And I think there are a number of sports that you could point to and say they had success and it didn't change the dial on participation. I think if you leave it to its own devices, you're not going to change it. But if you do get international success and you use that to drive the visibility of the sport, and then you make sure you've got the right interventions that are in place to make it really easy for somebody to go and pick up a hockey stick, that's what makes the difference. Is rising up the medals table at major events important? I don't want us to become first on the medal table just for the sake of it. I don't want medals for medals' sake. At hockey, we've always wanted medals because of what it enabled us to do to grow the sport, to grow the visibility of the game, to get more people loving our sport. And I think that's possible across a whole range of sports. And if coming first on the medal table is a catalyst to enable that, then that's a fantastic thing. There's plenty of anecdotal evidence in the UK to suggest that witnessing elite women's sport drives increased female participation, especially the impact of major sporting events. Sally talks about how England hockey interacted with the 630,000 people who came to watch the sport at London 2012, half of whom probably weren't hockey players. They set up mini hockey pitches for kids to have a go as they came in to watch the games, and they captured contact details. Every hockey club across the country then opened its doors immediately after the games to make the sport accessible to all. All of this activity, along with the media coverage for the GB Hockey Women after 2012 and then 2016, enabled hockey to double the number of girls playing in clubs. Research tells us that a lot of those young girls were inspired by watching hockey, maybe for the first time at London, explains Sally. Netball has also seen the impact of the England team's success, with an incredible increase in women and girls playing netball that followed England's win at the Commonwealth Games and continued through to the Vitality World Cup. A YouGov survey showed that 160,000 more British women started playing netball or played more netball because of the latter event in Liverpool in 2019. The FA experienced a similar surge as 850,000 more women and girls started playing football after the Lionesses reached the semi-final of the World Cup in 2019. Not all sport gets it right all the time, though, when it comes to raising the profile of their female stars. When Claire Cohen from The Telegraph questioned the then head of marketing at England Netball, Joe Adams, now Joe Coates, about why the sport had invested in the Rosebuddies mascots in 2012, in an article titled "England Netball's New Mascots Make Me Want to Puke," Joe told her, "Our research tells us that young girls don't identify with elite athletes, so we've created three stylized mascots that are relevant to the things they like. They all have their own personality. For instance, one of them likes One Direction." Seriously? So rather than investing money and time in promoting their own incredible athletes, England Netball invested in three over-feminized mascots with miniskirts and lots of pink and very large heads. As Claire Cohen concluded, a desire to raise the profile of netball, indeed the profile of any sport in which women compete, is undoubtedly a good thing. But we need to get to a place where young women do look to elite athletes for inspiration. Because far from being a gaggle of ditzy dolls obsessed with shopping, the England women's netball team are a brainy bunch. Captain Pamela Cookie has a management degree. Another is training to be a doctor. Goal shooter Joe Harton has a degree in international relations. And goalkeeper Ebony Beckford Chambers is a trainee solicitor. With such fantastic role models on the court, who needs cartoon dolls? I asked Joe Bostock about the importance of role models in women's sport. Whether it's in business, technology, science or sport, if you can see someone like you, and like you might not just be your gender, it might be your social background or your ethnicity, but you see someone like you doing well, then you have evidence that it's possible. You don't have somebody saying, "Oh, go on, give it a try," and you look around going, "Well, where's the proof?" It doesn't seem that anybody like me is getting on in this industry or this sport. That looks hard. Great role models, they're a proof point. Yes, it's absolutely possible because I've done it, and you can do it too. I think they're hugely powerful. It's important to remember that it's not just as athletes that women in sport can be powerful role models to inspire women and girls. Having more women visible as coaches and officials is also essential, as professional match official Sian Macielis told me. When I started, I didn't know that women could be referees because there's not that many of us out there. So the more we have out there that you can see working at the top games, the more women will come through. It's difficult to make it to the top level, but the more we have coming through at the grassroots, the more likelihood is that we will get more girls coming to the top level. When I talk to successful British sportswomen, the majority say that inspiring the next generation is an absolute must for them. It does appear that for female athletes, this is more of a priority than it is for men. As I've previously mentioned, watch any women's sports event in the UK, football, rugby, netball, cricket or hockey, and at the end you'll see female athletes spending time, in some cases hours, having selfies taken with fans, signing programmes and balls, often in the rain. Perhaps they know what they themselves have had to overcome to get to the top in their sports when opportunities for their gender were more limited. When it comes to being a powerful female role model, you're unlikely to meet anyone more passionate than professional footballer turned professional boxer Stacey Copeland. Stacey's charity, Pave the Way, aims to create a world where gender is never a barrier to human potential. The charity's goals are to challenge gender stereotypes for boys, girls, men and women, and work to spark a social change in attitudes so that everyone can be free to pursue their passions, regardless of gender. Stacey knows that many people struggle with boxing as a sport for men or women. I totally appreciate why people don't like watching it, don't like seeing it. I totally understand that. As for women boxing, it challenges society's definition of femininity almost more than any other sport. However, what we do know about sport, whatever form, whatever type of sport it is that if we see women excelling and women portrayed in a positive light and being positive role models, it affects every other aspect of society. I know that to be true. Boxing needn't be any different. I spoke to Lauren Stedman, a Paralympian who, along with representing Paralympics GB at swimming and para triathlon, also reached the semi-final of BBC's Strictly Come Dancing in 2018, about what it means to her to be a role model. What I wanted to do in my whole life, in everything I do, is to inspire people and encourage them to do the things that they don't think they can do, because actually they can. It's just a mindset. It's powerful to hear Lauren talk of how things have changed for her in public. When children used to pass her on the street, they would say, "Mum, that girl's got one arm." Now it's, "Mum, that's Lauren from Strictly." And it was really lovely that all of a sudden they didn't see it as different. It was just that Lauren was born without an arm. It wasn't unusual. And so kids see that actually there's no difference between disability and able-bodied anymore. I think I've had so many beautiful messages. One lady messaged me saying, "I've got two twin girls and we watched your first dance shown on Strictly where you did your waltz. And I said to them, look what Lauren's doing. There are no excuses. You girls can do anything you want to do in your life. Wow, if all I managed to achieve was just inspiring two little girls one evening, my job is done. Thank you." Lauren's comment shows that the impact of female sports role models reaches far beyond driving participation. They have the potential to inspire girls, giving them more confidence in many areas of their lives. It's also important that our female sporting role models represent women from all backgrounds. As Maggie Alfonsi explained to me when I asked her about her own sporting role models. Growing up, I would say the role model that I looked at was Denise Lewis. Back in 2000, when she won the gold medal at the Sydney Games. It was great to see someone who looked like me and came from a similar background. I knew she was from Wolverhampton, Birmingham, and I came from North London, in Edmonton, in quite a challenging background. To see someone like her go that far from where she came from and then be an example for many other women, women of colour in particular. I looked up to her significantly, and I still do to this day. I asked Maggie how it now feels to know that she is a role model inspiring young women to play rugby. You don't set out to be a role model. If anything, you just set out to be the best that you can be, the best version of yourself. And that's what I do. I go out, I played my rugby, and I've played it to the best of my capability and not let anyone stop me, regardless of what their perceptions may be. So being a female, I wasn't going to let that stop me. Being from an ethnic minority, I wasn't going to let that stop me. Or coming from a low social economic background, I wasn't going to let that stop me. A campaign that is helping more British female athletes find their voices, like Denise and Maggie, is the Women's Sport Trust's Unlocked, which launched in 2019. Pairing 41 female athletes from 24 sports with 41 activators from business, media and sport, the impact of the initiative is evident, with many of those involved now speaking out regularly about the issues that concern them. So how are these amazing female sporting role models portrayed in the media? Unfortunately, often very differently from their male equivalents. I was fascinated to read more from Emma Wensing and Tony Bruce, who highlight that when female athletes receive media coverage, extensive international research has shown that the media have historically used five techniques to represent women in line with cultural ideas about femininity. As I read about the five techniques, I was very aware of having seen them used in the media. Perhaps by flagging them and calling it out, we can continue to change the way female role models are portrayed. In gender marking, a gender modifier is added to a female event or team, such as the Women's World Cup or England Women's Cricket Team versus the World Cup or the England Cricket Team for the men. The implication is that the women's version is inferior to the men's. The technique of compulsory heterosexuality means that journalists present female athletes as sex objects or portray them in heterosexual roles such as wife, mother, girlfriend. The emphasis of appropriate femininity focuses on traditional notions of acceptable feminine physical or emotional characteristics or behaviours. Infantilization presents sportswomen as girls, young ladies, or refers to them only by their first names, undermining their sporting achievements. Finally, downplaying sport focuses on non-sport-related aspects such as appearance, family, personal life, alternative careers, in comparisons to male athletes, which demeans female performance and reinforces the idea that, for women, sports performance and success are secondary to other things, including male sporting success. Writing more recently, Tony Bruce recognises that, while we see less of these rules being used in media coverage today, ambivalence remains the most common form of representation, where positive descriptions and images of women athletes are juxtaposed with descriptions and images that undermine and trivialise women's efforts and successes. This made me think back to the cringeworthy moment when Ada Hegerberg, the inaugural winner of the Women's Ballon d'Or, was asked to twerk live on stage by the host DJ Martin Solvig. Hats off to Andy Murray, who took to Instagram to voice his disapproval at the time. Another example of the ridiculous sexism that still exists in sport, he said. Why do women still have to put up with that shit? I've been involved in sport my whole life, and the level of sexism is unreal. Moments like this prompted the creation of the hashtag #CoverTheAthlete campaign in 2015, with a goal to encourage the media to cover female athletes with the same professional respect that they do the men. Sexist commentary, inappropriate interview questions, and articles commenting on physical appearance not only trivialise a woman's accomplishments, but also send a message that a woman's value is based on her looks, not her ability. And it's much too commonplace, said the campaign's website. It's time to demand media coverage that focuses on the athlete and her performance, not her hair, clothes, or body. If you haven't seen the parody video on the hashtag #CoverTheAthletes website, created to highlight the huge gender disparity in sports coverage, I suggest you do. A reporter innocently asks Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps, "Removing your body hair gives you an edge in the pool, but how about your love life?" He laughs and looks incredulous. Other male sports stars are asked questions about their helmet hair, figures, skimpy uniforms, and one football commentator says of Wayne Rooney, "I wonder if his dad took him aside when he was younger and told him, 'You're never going to be a looker, you'll never be a Beckham, so you're going to have to compensate for that.'" It's funny, until you realise these are exactly the sort of questioning and commentary that female athletes have to deal with all the time. The last comment about Rooney was a reference to John Inverdale's sexist comment on BBC's Wimbledon women's final commentary in 2013, when he questioned whether the eventual winner, Marion Bartoli's father, had told her, when she was younger, that she was never going to be a looker, a Sharapova, you're never going to be 5'11", you're never going to be somebody with long legs, so you have to compensate for that. Interestingly, Wensing and Bruce say that the media coverage of large international sporting events is less likely to be marked by gender. The media rules are bent when presenting international sportswomen who are representing and, more importantly, winning for the nation. Large crowds of fans displaying flags, wearing national colours and emblems, arriving with faces painted and singing national anthems are as easy and appropriate a setting for collective expressions of national identity as one could devise, says Lincoln Allison in Sport and Nationalism, a chapter in the Handbook of Sport Studies. There's no doubt that the concept of our nation appears to become more real in the presence of high-profile international sport. This is certainly my impression when you consider the more positive media portrayal of England and GB women competing and winning at the Olympics, Paralympics, Commonwealth Games or World Championships. As our collective national identity becomes more important, it overrides the usual ways in which the sports media report on female athletes. Sadly, when the women return to compete in their domestic leagues and teams, the old attitudes often return. Nationalism trumps sexism every time, is how Maria Bobbenreith, Executive Director of Women Win, described this phenomenon to me. Here's hoping that in the coming years, as women's sport continues to grow, our female athletes will begin to receive more balanced media coverage year-round, not just when major global events are taking place. In recent years, we've seen an enormous growth in athlete activism, especially in women's sport. It's hard not to be in awe of the extraordinary array of strong female athlete role models dominating global sport and driving social change. Global sports icon Serena Williams is not only one of the most decorated female athletes in the history of tennis, but a massive advocate for equality and motherhood. Serena has called out the inequalities in women's tennis throughout her career and, in 2019, influenced by her actions after returning from pregnancy, the WTA announced two new rule changes around women retaining their rankings and the outfits they could play in. Following close in her footsteps is fellow tennis player Naomi Osaka, who, in August 2020, brought the Western and Southern Open to a halt with her decision to stand down from her semi-final match on political grounds, alongside professionals in basketball, baseball, and soccer who had postponed their matches in protest at American police brutality and racism following the shooting of Jacob Blake. Then there is Simone Biles, one of the most successful gymnasts of all time, with 14 World Championship and Olympic gold medals at the time of writing, the most won by any male or female gymnast in history, and an incredible 4 original moves named after her. She also has the most World Championship medals, 20, won by any female gymnast. Despite all this, Biles has remained incredibly humble about her achievements. In January 2018, she joined other brave female athletes when she released a statement confirming that former USA gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar had sexually assaulted her. She also called out US gymnastics for allowing the abuse to occur and then covering it up. On January the 24th, 2018, Nassar was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison. Biles and the other survivors were awarded the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for speaking out. Another courageous and much admired role model, taking a stand on a wide array of social issues, including racism, LGBTQ representation, and equal pay, is US footballer Megan Rapinoe. Megan was one of the first soccer players to take a knee before games in support of the NFL's Colin Kaepernick in 2016, commenting at the time, "Being a gay American, I know what it means to look at the flag and not have it protect all of your liberties. It was something small that I could do and something that I plan to keep doing in the future and hopefully spark some meaningful conversations around it." She was also one of the most outspoken of the US women's soccer team in their lawsuit against the US Soccer Federation in their fight for equal pay, telling the BBC that women shouldn't settle for anything less. Go for equal, go for more. Don't accept any of these sort of antiquated and BS answers. Especially when it comes to sport, there's been such a lack of investment for such a long period of time. So any direct comparison to the men's sports or the men's leagues is just wholly unfair. Until we have equal investment and overinvestment, really, because we've been so underserved for so long, we're not going to have any sort of meaningful conversation about compensation and revenues and TV viewership. While we celebrate individual activists, the most powerful activism occurs when a collective unites for change. This was the case in the summer of 2020 when the WNBA dedicated the season to a narrative around social justice. All players had the names of Breonna Taylor, a black woman fatally shot by police officers in Kentucky, on the back of their shirts. Black Lives Matter was visible on the floor for each game, and the athletes chose to only talk about social justice issues at their press conferences. Following the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin, the Washington Mystics wore t-shirts with individual letters spelling out his name on the front and 7 painted bullet holes on the back, a reference to how the unarmed black man was shot by police in front of his children. "This isn't just about basketball," said Mystics player Ariel Atkins. "When most of us go home, we still are black." Some athletes, like Natasha Cloud, the star of the Washington Mystics, even opted out of a WNBA season and gave up her salary to raise awareness for social justice issues and the fight for racial equality. Her sponsor, Converse, promoted her signing with her own quote, The biggest thing is for me to use my platform as a microphone. That's the goal. Be a voice for the voiceless. They also stepped in and covered her playing contract for the season. I was curious to understand why we've seen so much athlete activism in the last 2 years and why it's women who have been so vocal. I put this question to Mary Harvey, former US soccer player and now CEO of the Centre for Sport and Human Rights, and she answered in her usual forthright manner. Because we've had it, you know? She went on to point out that this area had also been a real unifier for men's and women's sports. The WNBA and the NBA, there's a lot of solidarity there. So it's interesting. It's really cutting across. It's not us versus them. It's very much, this is all of our problem. I don't know if it's cultural or if it's as women. Maybe women have got to a point where we have an opportunity to say some things finally because people are now listening. We have a few things to say and maybe it's pent up. Maybe it is. We've just had it. Role modelling isn't just about athletes, though. It's about seeing successful women in all areas of sport. On December the 2nd, 2020, Stephanie Frappart became the first woman to referee a men's UEFA Champions League match when she took charge of Juventus versus Dynamo Kyiv. In a powerful piece to camera, British sports broadcaster Kate Abdo, reporting on the UEFA Champions League for CBS Sports, questioned whether it mattered to her that Stephanie Frappart will referee a men's game on the biggest stage. Yes, it does. It matters to me as a woman who's looking for acceptance in men's professional sports and feeling validated by another woman being told she is among the best, male or female. It also matters to me as a woman wanting to set an example for other young girls who love this game and let them know that despite the fact they may look at football's governing bodies and boardrooms and not see themselves reflected, change is coming. Kate went on to point out that this shouldn't just matter to her because she's a woman, but that it should matter to all the fathers of daughters who want to achieve not only in sport, but want to achieve, period. It matters that your daughters see women creating paths that will in turn make their path more walkable. 2020 is the year that it matters to be a girl dad. Storytelling is becoming ever more important, especially in an era where traditional match reporting is dying out in print media. Sports stories now have more of a narrative arc, as by the time a game's been written about, most of the audience will have already seen the result or watched clips of the game. Characters drive popularity and reach in sport, and all those working in sport have a role to play in creating those female sport characters and keeping them in the public eye. The growth of social media in the past decade means that female athletes can now own their own media platforms. From Instagram, Facebook and Twitter to YouTube and TikTok, female athletes are sharing content directly with their fans, bypassing the filter of the media in the process. They are attracting huge fan bases, substantially larger than the audiences they might reach via more traditional media outlets. On Instagram alone, wrestler Ronda Rousey and Serena Williams each have over 13 million followers. Footballer Alex Morgan has over 9 million. Indian tennis player Sania Mirza has 7 million. And Simone Biles has 4 million. The potential to monetize and mobilize this fan base is hugely powerful and something to look out for in the years ahead. Women who have been underfunded and undersponsored can now generate revenue directly for themselves and their teams. Women who have had no share of the media can now talk directly to their fans. Whether earning income or driving social change, these elite female athletes are taking control of their own destinies. Exciting times ahead. Thank you so much for listening to the serialization of my book, Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport. If you'd like a copy, it's available in hardback and paperback in all good bookshops and online. The Game Changers podcast is free to listen to on all podcast platforms. Head over to fearlesswomen.co.uk to find out more about all of the incredible game changers I've spoken to in previous series. There are over 100 of them, including elite athletes, journalists, coaches, scientists, broadcasters, and CEOs. As well as listening to all the episodes on the website, you can find out more about the Women's Sport Collective, a free, inclusive network for all women working in sport. And you can register for the Fearless Women newsletter, a weekly review of the global developments in women's sport. Do come and say hello on social media, where you'll find me on LinkedIn, Instagram and Twitter at Sue Anstis. Finally, if you've enjoyed the podcast, I'd be so grateful if you could do two things. Firstly, if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I'd really appreciate it. And secondly, if there's anyone in your life, at home or at work, who you think might enjoy the podcast, please do let them know about it and help us spread the word about women's sport and the stories of these incredible game changers.